Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever gone exploring in the wild? Maybe you've stumbled upon a forest near your house or a canyon where you went camping this summer and thought, wow, I want to check this place out. When you were exploring, what did you see? Any interesting plants or rocks? Did you maybe even come across some animals? Being an explorer is an exciting way to spend time in nature, and it's something that human beings have always done, all over the world. Today, we're going to be hearing from an explorer who's gone on many different adventures to a particularly distant part of the world, somewhere that's super hard to get to. This place is called the Arctic.
There are no roads. There's no accessibility.
This is John Waterman. He's worked as a national park ranger, a writer, a photographer, and a National Geographic explorer in the Arctic. From his very first visit to the Arctic, John knew that he had found a very special place.
To me, the beauty of the Arctic is that it's hard to get to. There are a lot of sort of challenges about it. For instance, the mosquitoes can be fierce for at least a month in the summertime. There are three species of bears. There's the black and the grizzly and the polar bears when you're on the North Coast. So you have to be on your toes. But again, there are just manifold beauties to behold. The flowers and the migrating caribou herds. Animals like the wolverine. A wolverine swam in front of my kayak on one of my trips in the mid-1980s, and I'd never seen a wolverine before. I don't know if this wolverine had ever seen a human before.
A wolverine is a super strong weasel-like creature who lives in the Arctic. They're super rare and hard for humans to find.
I wanted to explore it all, to paddle into places no one ever paddled before.
Paddling into places no one has ever paddled before. What a great mission for an explorer. John's adventures in the Arctic began when he was a ranger at Denali National Park. Maybe you've been to a national park before, a place like Yellowstone or the Great Smoky Mountains or Yosemite. National parks are beautiful places that anyone can visit to explore nature.
It was the first time I'd been to the Arctic, and it was the most amazing experience I'd ever had in Alaska. Again, north of the Arctic Circle. And it was the incredible light that lit up the landscape, you know, at nighttime, as late as midnight. It was the wildlife. The rain would fall out of the sky. It often rained, and in that light, it would look like lemonade pouring out of the sky. I was so taken by the place. It allowed me to indulge that sense of wonder I'd been chasing all my life. This was a landscape that was a Disney world to me, and I wanted to learn more about it, so I started going on many trips to the Arctic.
Now, you might be wondering where the Arctic is exactly. To find it, you need to go north to the very top of the world.
Well, when you get far enough north into the Arctic Circle, most of it is treeless, and at the height of summer, it's lit 24 hours a day. The mountains aren't nearly as high. They're a lot smaller, and instead of 20,000 feet, the highest peaks there are really 5 or 6,000 feet. But some of them rise practically right out of the sea.
With this incredible, unique landscape in front of him, John had a lot to explore. To get around, he would load up a kayak with everything he needed to survive and paddle along rivers, enjoying the wilderness on his terms, all by himself. Despite the Arctic being so big with so much space for animals to roam, John had several run-ins with animals that will blow your mind. John's time in the Arctic helped him develop certain senses of what to do in these situations, also called instincts. And those instincts have saved his life on more than one occasion.
If you spend time alone, you develop that sense of where you fit in the animal kingdom, particularly when you run into beings that are higher up in the food chain than you are. That's one of the great wonders about my solo time in the Arctic, is that I really found, to my surprise, I began to feel things around me and sense other wildlife. as it could sense me. But in this particular encounter, it was a very stormy day. I'd been sailing my kayak, and I knew that I had to come ashore. I was soaking wet, dripping with rain, but I landed the kayak on a shore that didn't have too much surf and was walking down the beach, and I had a jar of peanut butter that was sort of my emergency energy food, and was kind of dipping my finger into it and eating as I was walking down the beach. And I was looking for a safe place to camp and just assessing everything around me. And without hearing anything or seeing anything, I suddenly knew that there was another animal really close to me. And of course, there are no trees. There was a bluff on the beach. And I turned around, and a bear had just topped over the bluff and was walking down the beach toward my kayak. And I was on the other side of the kayak. And without thinking, I did something I'd never done before and ran straight toward my kayak, which was running straight toward the bear. And it's not a good thing to do, because you never want to show aggression to a wild bear. You always have to be kind of neutral, appear strong, but not be aggressive. And the bear kept up its walk, maybe a little bit stunned at what it was seeing. But just as I got to the kayak, I tossed the peanut butter jar to it, thinking that that would stop him. And it did. And I pushed the kayak into the surf and jumped in, totally soaked now, and back paddled ferociously. And the bear had stopped because I had thrown it into the peanut butter jar. It really struck me as I was paddling along in the surf that I knew that bear was there. I knew instinctively, without using my five senses, that there was something dangerous about to happen. And that was one of the wonders of my trip across the Arctic, was developing and listening to that instinct.
In this bear encounter, John's explorer instincts alerted him that the bear was there and told him to run as fast as he could and throw the jar of peanut butter. However, in a different bear encounter, John's instincts told him to do something completely different.
I was paddling around a point, and all of a sudden there's a polar bear there on an ice floe with a seal kill. And immediately the bear jumped into the water and started swimming after me. And I knew that I couldn't out-paddle a polar bear, but I'd forgotten myself and I started quickly paddling away. And then I realized that I couldn't do that, that I was acting like a prey species. And so I quickly turned the kayak and pushed my rudder to face the bear. And I tried to put my hands down and I tried to just send it all my respect. And it worked. The bear stopped swimming after me. I had my camera out, so I kind of discreetly took a couple of blurry photographs, but then continued to just try to show respect and deference, but at the same time, without acting aggressive, to show strength. And that's what I essentially had done by turning and facing the bear. And it really worked. The bear swam back to its iceberg and realized that I was not a prey species, I guess, or maybe it already had its dinner.
This time, John's instincts told him to stop acting like prey, trying to run or paddle away from the bear, and instead face the polar bear head on, giving it respect. And while you might not think that bears care too much about respect, in this situation, John was able to safely continue on with his journey, all because he listened to his instincts. John has been on many journeys through the Arctic, but his most recent exploration was different than his other trips. He returned to a part of the Arctic that he hadn't visited in 30 years with his son, and he was shocked to see how much things had changed.
First thing, of course, is that the river had flooded. And it rained so hard that we couldn't fly in for 3 days. And finally, when we got in, it was an effort to keep the raft away from the banks of the river because there was so much current, so much river. In fact, it had washed over all the potential campsites. It was hard to find a place to pitch our tent that night. We saw only one caribou in more than a week that we were on the river. And that time of year in 1983, we'd seen thousands of caribou. We saw no wolves, So a few animals, and my 15-year-old son and I took swims in the river, which is something I never thought of doing in previous visits because it's the Arctic. It's cold. It's cold water. But it was so hot out, it was nearly 90 degrees.
This change in temperature is the reason why things in the Arctic are so different. The world is heating up because of gases that are released when humans drive cars, use factories, and burn things like coal, oil, and gas for energy. This temperature change is happening all over the world, but its biggest impact has been in the Arctic, where it's normally freezing cold.
The landscape is radically changing in the north because of this warming. The Arctic has warming nearly 4 times faster than the rest of the world.
The fact that the Arctic is melting makes John very sad. He loves the Arctic and feels a responsibility for the place that he spent so long exploring. But even though the Arctic felt very different, John could still find beauty in the place that he loves.
We were camped out our final night at Lake Kavacharak, and I couldn't sleep. I was aware of all these changes surrounding us. And I'm in the tent next to my son, who was asleep next to me. I crawled out past him without waking him up and climbed up the hill. It was midnight and the sun was still out because it's often out in the summertime all day, 24 hours a day, at that point, maybe 20 hours a day. And there's this magnificent rainbow across the river, and birds were calling, and I was just transported by the beauty of it all, struck by the sense of wonder again and again that what had drawn me back to the Arctic so many times already was still there. So it's still, it's changing, it's morphing in strange ways, but it doesn't mean that it still doesn't have its own beauty and reasons to go back, even as it's changing.
Even though the Arctic has changed, there's still a lot to love and to save. Today, John doesn't spend as much time exploring the Arctic. Instead, he shares his adventures with others so that they will also care for the Arctic and want to help it.
I felt compelled to share the beauty and wonder of this place, the Arctic. We have to preserve this place at all costs.
Being an explorer is exciting and can lead to amazing adventures out in nature. When we explore, we experience wonder, and that wonder makes us want to make the world a better place. So head outside, Wonder Kids, and find a new spot in the world to care about. An Arctic explorer shows that he cares about a faraway place with rivers and bears. If distant lands are calling you, you can become an explorer too.
Hello, parents. I'm Marcus Smith, and I host Constant Wonder, the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. Everything you've just heard actually comes originally from Constant Wonder, the Source podcast. It just so happens to have some great material for kids, too. As a grown-up, you'll likely enjoy the original extended episode on Constant Wonder about John Waterman and his Arctic adventures. To hear the full presentation, find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode is called Never Look a Bear in the Eye. We actually think you'll grow hungry for more than just one episode. As a series, Constant Wonder is an ongoing quest for awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Who ever said adults don't have time for wonder? A great way to stay connected to our world full of awe and wonder is to subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington, with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.